I have held the office of president once, and that is more than most men have. So I am content to retire from it with the consciousness that I have done the best I could and have accomplished a good deal in one way or another. I have strengthened the Supreme Court, have given them a good deal of new and valuable legislation, have not interfered with business, have kept the peace, and on the whole, have enabled people to pursue their various occupations without interruption. I think I can look back with some pleasure in having done something for the benefit of the public weal.
Mr. President, starring Edward Arnold. Mr. President, the man in the White House, the man chosen by his fellow citizens as our first citizen. We invite you now to become better acquainted with one of America's greatest men. These are little-known transcribed stories of the men who have lived in the White House. Dramatic, exciting events in their lives that you and I so rarely hear. True human stories of Mr. President. Our Mr. President drama will begin in just a moment.
Right now, a word about the background of this series. The American concept of the president as a federal executive is unique in the history of world politics. When our Constitution was framed, many Americans thought president was just another word for king. In fact, some of the titles suggested as appropriate for the new head of state were Your Majesty the President, Your Mightiness, and Your Excellency. But Washington chose president, meaning the one who presides. A wise choice, for an American president is very much like a presiding chairman of the board, who must maintain peace and amity among other divisions of the government. To such a coordinator must come inevitable compromises, adjustments, and personal disappointments. But this is a record of government not often found in textbooks. You'll hear it dramatically presented on Mr. President. So now listen to tonight's episode of Mr. President and see if you can name the president upon whom this episode is based.
Beyond the presidency, what ambition is there for a hale, robust man? The answer, of course, is that it depends entirely on the man. Our story this week is of a retiring president whose ultimate ambition remained unfulfilled even as he left the White House. In their Midwestern home, his ailing wife was filled with relief at his leaving the presidency. In Washington, his private secretary was pleased at the new lightheartedness of the outgoing president.
I have put your long-distance call through, Mr. President. The switchboard will ring you here when the circuit is open.
Oh, thank you, Michelin. You know, it's hard to believe I'll soon be able to spend all the time I like with my wife.
That will be the best medicine in the world for her, sir.
No, I thought her voice was a lot more normal the last time I phoned her, didn't you?
Oh, yes, almost completely so.
That stroke 4 years ago was a blow to all of us.
Well, maybe it was a blessing in disguise, sir. Your wife has never made a secret of her dislike of the social duties of the White House.
Oh, she could have gotten over that, I think. It's only that...
Well, there's your call, sir.
I'll get it. I'm right here. Yes?
Hello? Is that you, dear?
Oh, Nellie, how wonderful you sound, my dear.
Oh, I'm practically a new woman now. When are you coming home?
I'll be there Sunday morning.
Sunday? Not till then?
Well, a long time ago, long before the election, I promised the Lotus Club in New York I'd be their guest at a dinner this Saturday night. Well, I'll get the late train and be with you the first thing Sunday.
I wish it were for good.
It soon will be, my dear. March 4th will be here before you know it.
I'm so glad you can come this Sunday. It perks me up just to know it.
Well, that's why I phoned you, my dear.
Take care of yourself now. Don't eat too much at the Lotus Club.
I won't, I promise.
And good luck with your speech to them, dear.
Thank you, Nellie. I think they'll be amused at what I have to say. I'll tell you all about it on Sunday. Legend of the lotus eaters was that if they partook of the fruit of the lotus tree, they forgot what had happened in their country and were left in a state of philosophical calm in which they had no desire to return to it. I don't know what was in the mind of your distinguished committee when I was asked to attend this banquet. They came to me before the election. At first, I hesitated to accept, lest when the dinner came after the election, I should be shorn of interest as a guest and be changed from an active and virile participant in the day's doings of the nation to merely a dissolving view. But after further consideration, I saw in the name of your club the possibility that you were not merely cold, selfish seekers after pleasures of your own, and that perhaps you were organized to furnish consolation to those who mourn. Oblivion to those who would forget. A swan song for those about to disappear. I was not without suspicion that election day would be a day of storms, and I concluded it was just as well to cast an anchor to windward and accept as much real condolence as I could gather in such a hospitable presence as this. And therefore, my friends, I am here. I wish to express my deep gratitude to all of you and each of you. I close with a sentiment and a toast to which I most sincerely and cordially ask your unanimous acclaim. Health and success to the able, distinguished, and patriotic gentleman who is to be the next president of the United States. Driving out to the Bohemian Garden.
Oh, just like the old days.
Yes, that's right. Except in the old days, we didn't have a fine machine like this to go there in.
I'd love one of their cheese sandwiches.
That's what I'd hoped you'd say.
Maybe we can even put our feet up on the railing as we used to.
Why not?
No, come on. What's all this mystery about a Christmas present we mustn't take?
Well, I hope you'll agree with what I've done.
How can I tell until I know what it is?
Well, that Pittsburgh philanthropist has offered to provide a pension of $25,000 a year to former presidents and their widows.
$25,000?
That's right.
What a pity we can't accept it.
I knew you'd agree with me.
Well, it would... Oh, I don't know. Cheapen the office somehow. Think how you feel every time you happen to meet the old man.
That's one reason for turning it down. An even stronger one is this.
Look out for those chickens.
I see them. Suppose the old man said the president's salary wasn't big enough. Instead of offering this pension, suppose, therefore, he proposed adding to the $75,000 a year allowed us by the government. Suppose he wanted to add $225,000 to make it $300,000. It's easy to see it would invite a divided allegiance and a motive at least for allegiance to the private donor greater even than allegiance to the government.
It would be unthinkable.
Of course it would.
Personally, I feel very patriotic myself for turning down so much money.
Well, it's something we can tell our grandchildren about.
Grandchildren?
Uh-huh.
Then Bob told you, has he?
What? What is all this, Bob?
Martha's going to make his grandparents next summer.
What? No, really?
Very much, really.
Why, that's marvelous. Our boy, Bob.
And our Bob, Martha.
Yes, of course, of course. Yeah, let's stop here a moment, huh? You know, I'm tickle pink, aren't you, Nellie?
Of course I am. I just hope everything goes all right.
Oh, I'm sure it will. She's a fine, strong, wonderful girl. By George, things look better all the time.
I should say they do, when we can calmly turn up our noses at $25,000 a year.
Don't you worry, Mother. I'm not much of a businessman, but we've never lived extravagantly. I've managed to put aside $100,000.
$100,000?
That's right.
My, that has a nice, cozy sound.
Oh, we are not too badly off with the stock and that lot we bought in Washington, plus my life insurance.
What on earth brought on this fiscal report, dear?
Well, I'm just not certain about what I should do. The law is my profession. But if I go back to active practice and collect fat fees, they'll say I'm cashing in on presidential prestige.
What you just said, it's your profession. Surely you're entitled to practice it in any way you're fitted for.
Maybe I can attract enough cases in which I act as advisory counsel to keep the wolf from the door.
What you'd really like is a Supreme Court post, isn't it?
Of course I would. You know how I've always dreamt of it.
Yeah, it's kind of ironic, isn't it? I mean, you've made more Supreme Court appointments than probably any other president.
That's how it goes, Nellie.
Well, don't give up hope. And going back to actual practice will stand you in good stead.
That's right. Anyway, we don't have to make really definite plans till after the inauguration.
I wish it were over with.
It soon will be.
Better get going. I'll crank it.
Tell me, how much farther is the Bohemian Garden anyway?
It's about a mile beyond this curve up ahead. Of course, if Dr. knew Los Angeles right here at home, wouldn't you?
Oh, of course, dear. But right after the inauguration, you and I are going to spend a month in the sunshine.
Oh, that sounds heavenly. Where?
I've been hearing a lot about Georgia. Thought we might go down to Augusta. And then we decided... Hang on!
Oh, dear.
I'm afraid to look.
And it's getting dark, too.
I should have known things were going too well.
How bad is it, dear?
No Bohemian Garden, Nellie. We'll be late for supper at home as it is.
Oh, shaw.
No cheese sandwiches.
Oh, it's a shame.
No feet on the rail.
You sound awfully hopeless.
I feel awfully hopeless. We've got a flat tire with no spare. I'll have to vulcanize it, and I've never done it in my life.
Is there any way I can help?
Yes. If I start cussing, just forget you're a lady and forget you can hear me, will you? Are you all dressed, darling?
Yes, it's all right.
Come in.
Good morning, Mr. President.
Better call me that as fast as you can, Michelin. I'll only be entitled to it for another hour or so.
Yes, sir. I came to remind you, you'll have to be leaving within 10 minutes.
I know. I'll be ready. Did you attend to the tickets all right?
Yes. Do you want them now or after the White House reception?
Oh, better give them to me now. No, or better yet, give them to my wife. Nellie?
Yes?
Will you come here a moment, please?
What is it, dear? Oh, good morning, Mr. Michelin.
Morning, ma'am. I hear you're not coming to the inauguration. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm afraid the excitement would be too much for me. Want to leave well enough alone.
I'm very sensible, too. Michelin's got our tickets for Augusta, dear. Tell me, does this tie look all right?
Yes, it looks fine. Your stick pin is on the dresser.
I see it. Thanks.
There's just one more thing, Mr. President.
Yes?
I think the Board of Trustees at your alma mater is anxious for your answer.
Board of Trustees?
You see, Nellie, my alma mater has an opening on the faculty. They want me to accept the chair as a professor of law.
A professor?
Yes. Michelin here and I think it might be the perfect solution as to what I should do.
I certainly do. For one thing, it would take you out of competitive practice. Then no one could say you were capitalizing on the presidency.
And for another, it would give me a first-hand opportunity to teach my students a basic understanding and respect for the Constitution that I think is more and more lacking here in Washington these days.
Teachers are poorly paid, though, aren't they?
Well, a top salary is $5,000 a year. But Michelin here has some clever ideas about lecture appearances and magazine articles.
Yes, ma'am. I think the chief can easily double and probably treble his faculty salary with lectures and articles. But it's getting late, Mr. President. You've got to hurry.
My goodness, you're right. We'll talk some more about this on the train, darling.
No need to, as far as I'm concerned. I think you ought to accept.
Do you hear that, Michelin? Well, that makes it unanimous. Get off a telegram right away to the Board of Trustees, will you?
I hope there's nothing wrong. I didn't expect you back so soon. Are you all right?
Fit as a fiddle. But after 9 holes and a look at my score, I decided it was too hot for golf today.
Oh, nonsense. The weather's been perfect.
The weather depends entirely on my score. When it's up, so is the thermometer. But I must say, this trip has been the best thing in the world for you.
Losing the last election was the best thing in the world for both of us.
You're entirely well now, aren't you?
If I needed anything but your patience and sympathy, it must have been this Georgia sunshine. Oh, the mail came. There's a special delivery for Mr. Michelin.
Special, really?
Here it is.
Thank you, my dear. Mm-hmm.
Good news?
Oh, very good. Michelin has arranged 2 more lectures, one at $400 and the other at $3. And an article for the Saturday Post.
My stars, the way he lines up these extra chores, when are you going to have time to teach?
Oh, I'll have plenty of time, don't you worry. Anything else?
The National Guard wants to give you an official escort from the state line to the university.
Oh, no.
Here it is. You can see for yourself.
Oh. It's a fine, friendly gesture and all that, but this sort of thing is behind me now.
Thank heavens you feel that way.
No more pomp, Nellie. No more gold braid and formality.
From here on, I'm just an onlooker. But it's disgraceful.
I wish you'd sit down before you break something.
How can I sit down and calmly read about a pack of jackals attacking a lion?
You took this same kind of criticism for 4 years yourself. The president will have to get used to it.
But it isn't right, Nellie. He's a conflagration devouring Europe in flames, a conflagration that will devastate the entire world if it isn't stopped. And the president is trying to stop it.
You wired him your complete support weeks ago. What more can be expected of him?
I've got to show the jingles in our own party how wrong they are. This isn't just another European war, you know. This is a war none of us can escape if it's allowed to continue. We don't want all our young men risking their lives abroad.
Good heavens, let's hope it never comes to that.
We've got to do more than hope. We've got to stand behind the president in his determination to protect our neutrality. The task of the president is a heavy one. He is our president. He's acting for the whole country. He's anxious to find a way out of this present difficulty without war. Before party, before ourselves, we must all be for our country. That's what he's looking for. And we've got to stand by him in this work. We've got to forget all political differences in self-sacrificing loyalty to our common flag and our common country. We've got to stand behind the President of the United States. Have you figured out yet who I was when all this happened? It really did happen, you know. Changing events mean changing attitudes. And the swift calamity of events changed the former president's opinion of the man who succeeded him. He was on a Canadian vacation when an event occurred which changed the history of our country and of the whole world.
What a glorious day it's been.
Yes, the weatherman here at Murray Bay has certainly been good to us.
Who's that waving to us from the dock?
Huh? Where? Why, it's Mishler.
Why is he beckoning us?
I don't know, but he seems to have something on his mind. I'll put about. Mind the boom now.
Well, I'm all right.
Maybe they've canceled my four lecture tour.
Oh, dear me, I hope not.
It's finally happened, Chief.
What has? What's all the fuss about?
Wait, let me give you a hand, sir.
I can manage, thanks. Just a minute. I will just tie here at the dock.
Would you hand me that painter, ma'am?
Here you are.
I'll tie up at the bar, Chief.
Thanks. I'll take care of the stern.
Let me help you out, ma'am.
Well, if you just let me have your arm.
There we are.
Thank you.
Fine. Now then, Mishler.
Chief, it looks like war for sure.
Oh, no.
Something's happened about that warning the Continental Forces printed in the newspapers?
You've guessed it, sir. They've sunk Britain's biggest liner with 124 Americans drowned.
Oh, it's too horrible.
It's downright murder. But maybe there's still a chance for reason to prevail.
I wish I thought so, sir.
I've said all along how glad I was to be out of the White House. How all I wanted was a post in the Supreme Court. But this makes me feel differently. How I wish I were back in charge again.
If only the man who is in charge had lived up to our expectations.
No, it's too late to think about that. He's dillied and dallied when he should have acted.
I'd be interested in what you'd do if you were back in the White House, Chief.
What I'd do? Why, it's perfectly obvious. Congress won't meet until December. The president must reflect American opinion on his own.
And how would you do that, dear?
I'd withdraw our ambassador from the Continental Empire. And at the same time, I'd give their ambassador his passports and inform him our relations were severed. That would give force to this country's protest about the inhuman way they wage war.
Of course.
And there's precedent for it, too.
Let's go inside, Mishler. Let's get off a letter to the president and suggest it to him. Well, you're kind of early, aren't you? Did you get the blouse you wanted?
No, it didn't look anything like it did in the ad. My, what a lot of cigar butts. Who's been here?
Hayes and some of the other party leaders. They've been doing some preliminary campaign planning.
Already? But the election isn't until next year.
I know, but we've got to get this fellow out of the White House. He isn't strong enough.
A lot of people will agree with you there.
As a matter of fact, they tried to talk me into running for the House of Representatives so I could get back into action.
Darling, I hope you didn't.
No fear, Mother. Don't worry your head. I told them the only Washington address I was interested in was the Supreme Court. And there's precious little chance that I'll ever receive any mail there.
Don't be discouraged. You can't tell.
And speaking of the Supreme Court, that's where we'll probably find our next candidate next year.
That's what you predicted over a year ago. I'm glad Mr. Hayes and the others agree with you.
Well, he's got a fine record as governor of New York to point to. His Supreme Court decisions have been sound and conservative. And heaven knows he's got the looks and the dignity a president should have.
You know, I might take that as a conceited remark.
You know me better than that. My waistline alone takes me out of the running.
President in New York yet, dear?
The commissioner's been trying to reach him, but the lines are all tied up.
I'll try again in a few minutes. Isn't that marvelous?
With our party and our candidate at the wheel, we'll steer the country back where it belongs.
I can't ever remember so close an election, can you?
Don't think I can, darling. And even so, all the returns aren't in, but I don't...
There's the new president. Hello? Yes? Oh, Mr. Hayes. Yes, sir, he's here.
Mr. Hayes?
From New York.
Hello? Yes, Will. I want to congratulate... What's that? You're joking. But I can't believe it. It isn't possible. Yes. Yes, I see. Well, I needn't tell you how this makes me feel. I'm awfully sorry, Will, but thanks for phoning.
What on earth is it?
Something gone wrong with the election?
Just as wrong as it could go, Michelin. We've lost.
Lost?
Yes, the California returns have just been completed. Our man, whether he knew it or not, snubbed Senator Johnson out there. And it's cost us the state. And the state has cost us the election. Nell, they've invited me to go to Washington as co-chairman of the War Labor Board.
You're not going?
I think I'd like to, dear.
Oh, but you promised. No more government unless it's the Supreme Court.
I think it's more important than my promise, dear.
We've been so happy here at the university. I hate to give up the peace and quiet.
So do I. But next year is the midterm election. The party has to win a majority so we can win the presidency again 3 years from now. That's the political aspect of it.
It's the personal aspect I care about.
The personal aspect is that it will make it easier for me to live with myself. I'll at least be taking an active part to shorten this awful war. Our boy Charlie is in uniform doing his part. The least I can do is back him up. Who was it, Mr.?
Telegram, Chief. It's from the new president.
Oh, really?
He wants you to come out to his home in your own state. He's counting on you a week from tomorrow.
Counting on me?
That's the expression he uses. Read it yourself.
Well, George, that's mighty generous of him, but... Well, they say he is a warm, friendly man.
What do you suppose he wants?
I haven't any idea. But the best way to find out is to accept his invitation.
Straight ahead.
Looks like it used a coat of paint, doesn't it?
You're looking at it with today's eyes instead of yesterday.
No one else around. Doesn't seem as popular as it used to be, does it?
Oh, what do we care? It's our private celebration.
I expect the new president has made the news public by this time.
Just think. You'll be the first man ever to be both president and chief justice of the Supreme Court. You're a historical figure.
Well, there's enough of me to go around, heaven knows.
Oh, dearest, I'm so proud of you. So very proud.
I'm glad, Nellie. But in another way, this is nothing to be proud of at all. Not in the sense that pride goes with vanity. This is something to be humble and prayerful about. The three branches of our government have made this country the greatest in the history of the world.
To lead in any of them is an honor that supersedes pride and ambition and makes a man humble. And that's how it should be. Our country wasn't made great through pride, but through humility. And with God's help, that same humility will see us to new achievement and new glories beyond the conception of any of us, so that all men everywhere will find hope and strength in the very words, the United States of America. Well, you've probably figured out by now who I was when all that happened. It really did happen, you know, and you'll have the answer in just a moment.
Stand still, dear.
Yes, Nellie, but you shouldn't have to fix this robe. We should get a tailor to do it.
Hush your noise, Will. It isn't any job at all. And besides, there's no time to get a tailor.
10 minutes out. I'll be late on my first day in a new job, and that's bad.
You won't be late. The hem of your robe is all mended now.
Oh, thank you, Nellie.
Hurry now. I don't know how I'm going to manage to keep still.
Keep still about what?
Sitting there in the gallery, I'll be so proud of you, I'll want to nudge everybody in the place and say at the top of my lungs, that man in the center, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court and former President of the United States, is my husband, William Howard Taft.
Be with us again next week, won't you, for another interesting story that happened in Washington a few years ago to Mr. President. Until then, goodbye. Mr. President, produced and directed by Ted Koe, was created by Robert G. Jennings and written by Bernard Dougal. Heard in the cast were Helen Cleave as Helen Taft and your narrator, Ted DeCourcia, as Mishla. Our story was based on incidents in the life of President William Howard Taft.